You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill. I'm Gareth A. Davis. This week, the UFC returns to Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. The second time that the UFC has been to the country of Canada in 2018. It's a very, very busy time in the UFC right now. We're going to talk about Volkan Ozdemir against Anthony Smith, the light heavyweight headliner there in Moncton in a moment. And of course, the catchweight 147-pound fight between Michael Johnson and Artem Lobov. Of course, Lobov was about to fight Zubair Chugayev, but of course, because of the melee at UFC 229, the post-fight melee, rather, there was a fight in the octagon between Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov. Of course, the post-fight melee, it has meant that Chugayev will not be fighting on that event. Joining me this week to discuss all things UFC, my old pal, my old mucker, we're on the trail together very often, it's Jim Edwards, MMA journalist from the UK. Hey Jim, how are you doing?
Very good, Gareth. Always good to hear your voice. Looking forward to talking about the fights as usual.
Jim, let's start first of all. There's a couple of kind of housekeeping news things to discuss. Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov. The Nevada State Athletic Commission this week have suspended both men. They're allowed to suspend fighters for 10 days pending ongoing investigations. They've extended that suspension to both fighters for the post-fight melee at UFC 229 in Las Vegas. And they say they're going to have a full investigation, comprehensive investigation that will likely culminate. And I imagine both men will have to come before them in December. They've given Khabib Nurmagomedov 1 million of his 2 million purse for the fight. I think we're going to get some fairly stiff rulings from the Nevada State Athletic Commission. They've used very strong terms, unsportsmanlike conduct, discredit to unarmed combat, and they're blaming, or certainly Bateman is calling Nurmagomedov the catalyst for the incident. They are still working with NSAC Executive Director Bob Bennett on the formal complaints against the fighters, and that will be presented in a hearing in December. They are taking it very seriously, but do you think that these men are going to get lengthy suspensions?
Yeah, no. Like you say, I think there's two things going on here. Will they want to come down on them relatively hard, given what happened? We all know that there's no kind of place in combat sports for anything like that. But at the end of the day, money is makes the world go round, as they say, and money does certainly make the all the machines go around in Vegas. And whenever McGregor's in town, you know for a fact that a lot of people there, and he brings a lot of business to the state of Nevada. So do you know what? I'm expecting those special backdated sentences where everything sounds a lot longer than it actually is. And I'm looking at things like 9 month backdated sentences, and probably the guys wouldn't have fought there anyway. I kind of expect it to sound lengthy, but it in reality not really be that harsh.
My feeling, Jim, is that I agree with you, and I think they will most likely get around about a 9 month suspension and a big fine. Of course, wouldn't surprise me if both Conor and Khabib got fines of $250,000-$300,000 US, which is a significant amount of money. I don't know whether they'll try and make an example of them. They probably won't, because they are worth so much money to Las Vegas. Conor McGregor has brought in probably, arguably, if you take all his fights in Las Vegas, over $1 billion in, even that fight with Khabib would have earned up to about $200 million for the event itself. And then you look at the drop, as they call it, the amount of money it brought in. We were both there. We know how busy it got in the last 3 or 4 days. It would not surprise me at all to see these two guys go at it again on that September date, that big September date. or maybe even October, a year apart perhaps from the two events. But it really wouldn't surprise me to see them have a rematch.
Absolutely not. I think from a standing point of view, I think you look at the fight and you see no need for a rematch. But then you add in all the kind of intangibles around it, all the what happened after, what happened before, and you certainly have all the makings of a rematch on there. It's just too much money. It was competitive enough. I think someone somewhere will probably put a good case together saying that McGregor could actually win the fight in certain circumstances. So definitely going to be a rematch. I kind of like your thinking around the kind of October November date next year. That would make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and also the fact someone will make a case that Conor was 2 years away. It was his first fight back. It was, you know, that he was ring rusty. He looked ring rusty. He didn't look himself. He wasn't bouncing on his feet. The style doesn't suit him, of course. Khabib has an incredible style. Fascinating to see Conor McGregor's breakdown of the contest. I thought was fairly rounded. And then you get another take on it. Ali Al-Beladiz gives his take on Conor getting a proper beatdown. That beef won't go away with the manager of Khabib. There's another point to clear up here, which I thought was fascinating. Khabib Nurmagomedov maybe taking a leaf out of Conor McGregor's book and calling on Floyd Mayweather to have a fight with him in boxing. And Floyd, of course, never short of wanting a bit of publicity, even gets his management team to do a video with Khabib saying, come on, Floyd, let's make it happen. Makes Floyd relevant in the news again, but I just don't see that. Instinctively, and fight sports is so nuanced, instinctively, I do not see that happening. It worked with Conor because he's a striker, because he's an extraordinary striker, because of that left hand, because of his southpawedness. I just think that fight with Floyd Mayweather worked, and they are both such brilliant fight marketeers. But Khabib against Mayweather, it doesn't work for me. The only place it does work, where it could really sell, is to do it in Moscow. They apparently have had talks with the boxing commission in Moscow, but I just don't think that fight will happen. What's your take, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. Never in a million years do I think this fight's ever going to happen. I think, like you say there, there was a narrative that you could play with the McGregor Mayweather, and it did spiral upwards, and people did get excited, and people did believe that McGregor could had a chance, and like people could actually believe what was going on. But in this, you know, this is a scenario where we have the best grappler in the world versus the best boxer in the world in the boxing ring. It just makes absolutely zero sense to, the vast majority of people that will look at it like that. There's just not a case to be made. It won't be competitive. I find it very hard that it's going to get sanctioned anywhere. But you never know. You never know these days. The people, you know, like the Nevada State Athletic Commission, I'm sure they could find a reason to sanction it. It's just, it is like you say, Gareth. This is, this is headline chasing. This is Floyd doing a good job, as he always does, keeping himself relevant with the right people. Never going to happen in a million years, though.
The only comparison I would make with this, Jim, is if you look back to 1975 and you look at Muhammad Ali against Antonio Inoki, and there was a riot after that fight, but a near riot. You might as well call it a riot in Japan. People throwing their drinks everywhere and throwing their popcorn everywhere in protest. It was an absolute stinker. This great wrestler against this great boxer, and the place was stunk out with two greats coming together, but it just didn't work. And that's the way I see this contest. We know what Floyd did to Conor. In stand-up terms, in boxing terms, Khabib just doesn't have it. I know he threw that right hand from hell, that winging wild right hand, and caught Conor McGregor that people have made a lot of, but he just doesn't have the boxing skills for me. The other thing I want to ask you about, next week in New York, of course, there's the big event, UFC 230, Daniel Cormier defending the heavyweight title, UFC heavyweight title against Derek the Beast Lewis. That's all well and good. We'll talk about that next week when it comes to it. But also on the Wednesday, I think it is in York, either Wednesday or Thursday, John Jones we get to see in the public again. Obviously, he's coming back. Cormier's been made to relinquish the light heavyweight title and John Jones rematches Alex Gustafsson 5 years on from one of the greatest fights I've ever witnessed in any combat sports live. I remember kind of analysing it for BT Sport afterwards and just being not being able to sleep afterwards, basically. Remember, the two men didn't come to the press conference. They both ended up in hospital. It was a brilliant night. The whole fight spun on that moment where John Jones threw a spinning back elbow and twisted the narrative of the fight in the fourth round in an absolute epic thriller. How great to see these two back fighting together. And even more than that, to have John Jones in front of the public, because it's open to the public, the press conference, in front of the media again. John Jones back. Can he possibly now win the light heavyweight belt and then step up to heavyweight and fight Daniel Cormier if he wins, retains his belt against Derek Lewis? What a narrative, what a story this is going to be.
Oh, for sure. Like, you're just talking about the fight back in 2013. The one word that always springs to mind, it was just absolutely exhilarating. The whole way through, compelling fight where you just didn't know which way to turn. You just couldn't take your eyes off the screen at any point. And thank goodness, I like the fact that we haven't seen it for 5 years. I think it brings something. We know it's going to be something special again. Both guys have, you know, stayed at the same sort of level in terms of how good they are. And Gustafsson has always said that he thinks he won that fight, and Jones has said since that he was, you know, he won even on his worst night. So, that, you know, it is a compelling fight heading into it. I can't wait to see Jones back in front of the people, the ultimate bad boy who always gets the cheers. It's a fascinating thing to watch the fans and how they react to Jones. He's burned them so many times, yet they still always come back for more, don't they? They love him. They absolutely love him. And I'm sure in New York next week, people are just going to be glad to see him back. He is the greatest of all time. I personally don't think there's any dispute about that. And we just love to see him back in the octagon. He's going to be facing a high-quality opponent in a rematch where the first fight was one of the best UFC fights I think we've ever seen. So, you know, great stuff. Can't wait to be there.
I mean, the other thing about Jones, of course, he's been putting out this week that he could take on the best boxers in the world if he had 2 years training. If anyone could go into boxing, it could be John Jones. And of course, he would be perhaps a cruiserweight in boxing if he could make the weight. He would make an amazing cruiserweight. Love to see him against the likes of Tony Bellew, Alexander Usyk, all these guys out there. Would be fantastic. But when, you know, you look at the last few years of John Jones, you know, it's one fight a year for the last 3 years. Teixeira in 2014, Cormier in 2015, Ovince St. Preux in 2016, of course, Cormier again in 2017, but overturned, of course, because he tested positive for Turinabol. You know, one does hope that it's incredible, because even though he has had one fight a year for the last 5 years, or 4 years, or 5 years if you say 14, 15, 16, 17 and 18, it really does feel like he's been away a very long time. It's a very troubled 4 years there over that period. And, you know, I just wonder whether that time away will have taught him something. You know, he was a whippersnapper who won the belt. He's 31 now. He's got, for me, to get his career back on track. And I want to see him step up to heavyweight after this and take on all comers, because I think he's got it. I just think, you know, seeing him a bit bigger and him against the biggest men out there, him at maybe 225 pounds against the 250, 260 pounders. Again, every one of those for me is $1 million or a million pay-per-view buys.
Yeah, 100%. There's a nice little wrinkle actually heading into fight week next week where Daniel Cormier, this fight between Jones and Gustafsson is supposed to be for the official UFC light heavyweight title, which is currently around the shoulder of Daniel Cormier. Now, Daniel Cormier is saying if he was to actually lose against Derek Lewis, then he wouldn't relinquish his title.
I agree with him. Jim, he is absolutely right, Jim. Why should he relinquish it if he loses the heavyweight title? Why should he? Do you not agree with him?
Oh, 100%. I just think it's a lovely little wrinkle that I want to get, you know, I want to ask a few people about that next week. It'll be interesting to hear what Jones thinks about that, what Dana White thinks about that. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. There's a lot going on here. There's a few comebacks. There's Gustafsson, who's always been the bridesmaid and never the bride in the UFC title fights. Jones making a comeback. Does Jones go up to heavyweight? Does he stay at light heavyweight? There's so much about this fight, which we love. It's going to be a big one at the end of the year, that's for sure.
Great stuff, Jim. Let's move on to Moncton on Saturday night, New Brunswick, Canada, and the fight, first of all, between Michael Johnson, a very, very adept striker, southpaw, very similar in some ways to Conor McGregor as a striker, against Artem Lobov, who for me is a brawler as a striker, but is a very rounded mixed martial artist, very dangerous. The odds with William Hill, Artem Lobov is 4-1, Michael Johnson 1-6 with William Hill. Method of result, Artem Lobov, KO, TKO or DQ 12-1, Michael Johnson by KO, TKO or DQ 7-4, Lobov by decision 7-1, Michael Johnson by decision 10-11. Fascinating fight this. Artem Lobov, of course, has had a very kind of unusual couple of years. I mean, he's looked good. He we know what he brings. He always delivers. But he's coming off the back of two losses in 2017 and has been away a year. Those losses to Cub Swanson and Andre Fili, obviously both by decision, but very much schooled in many ways by Cub Swanson, but never beaten mentally, Artem Lobov. A year away. It's been a long time.
Yeah, for sure. And he's had an absolutely crazy 2018 when you kind of look back on it. Supposed to fight Alex Caceres at UFC 223. Pulled during fight week because of what happened between him and Nurmagomedov in the fight at Hotel. And obviously, Conor flying over, throwing the dolly through the bus and him being part of all that. Pulled from that fight. And then, again, like sees his opponent this week pulled. There's so much going on in and around Artem, but you made a very good point there where he's very mentally strong. Mm. Nothing seems to kind of waver him in that sense. He has a lot of critics, a lot of people who often kind of almost make fun of him. They call him the GOAT of MMA and you take one look at his record and you can see why people would say that he doesn't deserve to be in the UFC, but he's in there for a very good reason, and it's because he's best pals with Conor McGregor. So I think, you know, he has showed over the years that he can win fights that he's perhaps not supposed to. He's a bit of a spoiler. He's up for a fight pretty much anytime, anywhere. And I just feel this weekend, he had a tough task originally with Tagagayev, but now he's got Michael Johnson coming in on short notice and things haven't got easier for him. I just think Michael's got too many tools. He's too light on his feet. I think he's just going to pick away at him. Leg kicks, jabs. I think it's just going to be too much. I can just see a unanimous decision to Michael Johnson. I just think he's a bit too flashy for him. As long as he can kind of stay out of close range and just stay out of the brawl with Lobov, I think he's probably going to slide to quite an easy decision victory here.
Well, you look at the form book and you can understand why the odds are such with William Hill, because obviously Johnson's got a victory over Andre Fili in his last outing in August. Split decision, of course, but you know, like you say, he's a very smart striker, light on his feet, pretty mature now. He's quite long in the way he fights. You know, he's a southpaw as well, which often makes it harder to hit. I kind of side with you, but I do think that you've got to give Artem a chance in this fight, because if he does get an opportunity, he will go for broke in this fight. There's no question about that. And I agree with you. I think a very close decision to Michael Johnson, who's 1-6 with William Hill. Artem Lobov 4-1. But you know what? We can't completely write Artem off, because, as you say, his tenacity is such that he may well pull through. I hope he does in many ways, because, you know, it's been a tough time for him in a lot of ways, and I do like the guy. And given that I've stripped off to my budgie smugglers, at the fight hotel, the fighter camp where he was living with John Kavanagh and all a year ago when they fought Floyd Mayweather. And I did a podcast then for William Hill and was persuaded to strip down to me budgie smugglers and dive into the deep end with him in the pool at the house. Thankfully, it was never captured on video, even though the Facebook Live cut off just before we did it. Thank God. He's a top guy, and I really hope on a personal level he does it on Saturday night, but I'm not sure that he will be able to stop, or because I think he's got to stop Johnson to beat him. That's the point in this fight.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and he hasn't stopped anyone for quite a long time, Artem, and that's just the thing. Like you say, he's a very nice guy to deal with. He's always got time for people. He's very polite. And, I wish him all the best on Saturday. But we're putting our money on the table here. So I'm putting it on Johnson decision, that's for sure.
Moving on to the main event, Volkan Ozdemir against Anthony Smith at light heavyweight. Right. So Anthony Smith, massive opportunity for him. He's got some great names on his record. Last four fights, he's got victories over Hector Lombard, Rashad Evans, Mauricio Hua, a very weather-worn Mauricio Hua, I hasten to add, out there in Hamburg, Germany, and against Rashad Evans in Chicago, Illinois, back in June. Obviously, a quick turnaround for him there. He's had a fantastic summer in the UFC. Very powerful. Texan, has fought at middleweight as well. Very experienced, been around a long time. He's only 30, but he's a vet. Dangerous striker, and very good jiu-jitsu as well. Against another guy in Volkan Ozdemir, who again is very powerful in close with his short hooks, short punches, right and left hand. We know what he did to Misha Serkanov, Ovin St. Preux, and particularly Jimmy Manua in that fight in Anaheim, California, Jim. But of course, the loss in January this year when he challenged for the UFC light heavyweight title against Daniel Cormier. Cormier giving him a bit of his own treatment that night. This is a really, really exciting fight for me. And, you know, if you look at the odds in this fight, it is very close. William Hill, 11-8 for Anthony Smith for the victory, and 4-7 for Volkan Ozdemir for the victory. It's almost a shootout, I see this fight as, Jim.
Yeah, 100%. I think you were talking about Ozdemir's fight with Cormier at the start of the year, and I remember Cormier saying there are levels to this game, and on the night he certainly proved that Ozdemir was certainly a level below him. But luckily for him, I believe he's on exactly the same level as Anthony Smith, which makes this fight so great. Two brawlers, two guys that are incredibly good strikers, very powerful, like you were saying there. I think this could be an absolute war on Saturday. Really, really looking forward to it. I liked it as soon as the fight was announced. I like the fact that Smith's coming in here with a lot of momentum. Like you were saying there, that you know his victories over Rashad Evans and Shogun were at opportune times, and where the guys were really, I guess, coming descending, I guess, in their kind of careers. And you're quite correct, but at the same time, that breeds confidence, and confidence is a very dangerous thing. I like a lot about Anthony Smith. He's very articulate. He's very intelligent. And at the end of the day, I think he's going to get the win on Saturday. I can just see him just slightly outlasting Volkan. It's going to be very interesting to see how Volkan actually kind of reacts to that loss to Daniel, because it was quite a devastating one. What's his confidence going to be like heading into this fight? Is he going to back himself as much as he used to? We'll see. We'll see. It's very interesting. I'm actually going to go for a finish for Smith here. I like it. I really do like. I like this fight. But I'm liking and just siding a bit with Anthony Smith, and I think he's going to get it done late on, maybe in the third or the fourth round.
Do you know, I just don't see this fight going beyond two rounds, one way or the other. Maybe early third round. But, you know, Thiago Santos put Smith away, of course, as well. So it's a genuine pick'em. And given that you're going with Anthony Smith, I'm going to go with Volkan Ozdemir, because I think if they tie up, I think that's where he's incredibly dangerous. Like you say, the confidence coming out of that Daniel Cormier defeat for Ozdemir could be a big factor in this fight, and confidence in his chin as well. I haven't been on the fence like this for a long time, but I'm going to go for Ozdemir in this fight because I think he's fought higher levels, maybe fought higher levels of opponents. It's hard to say, really. I just think his resume is slightly better than Ozdemir, particularly if you factor in the Jimmy Manua victory. But in the Ovince St. Preux as well, that he went three rounds with Ovince St. Preux. I think it's a great fight. I'm going to go with Ozdemir in this one. It wouldn't surprise me if you're right about this, but I think it's still a terrific fight. Just the odds again with William Hill. 11-8 Anthony Smith. 4-7 Volkan Ozdemir for the victory. Method of result: Smith by KO, TKO or DQ 9-4, and Ozdemir by KO, TKO or DQ 8-11. Nothing in it. Smith by decision 8-1. Ozdemir by decision 12-1. Smith by submission 9-1. Ozdemir by submission 20-1. Don't see a submission in this. May go to a decision. If it does, Jim, I think it's going to be a terrific fight. My thanks to you as always for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure on the UFC Buzz podcast. Thank you very much, Jim Edwards.
Good stuff, Gareth. Looking forward to seeing you very soon, no doubt. And very much looking forward to this fight on Saturday.
Yes, indeed. We all are. Enjoy the fights on Saturday night, fans. Enjoy next week with John Jones comeback. That'll be fascinating for everyone. And we'll find out soon enough what's happening to Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov. I'm Gareth A. Davis. You've been listening to the UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.